before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend.
Welcome to Short Story Wednesday on Angels Among Us. Each week, we bring you a short but powerful story to lift your spirits and remind you that God is in even the smallest details of your life. If you have a story you'd like to share, we'd be honored to hear it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Short Story Wednesday. Brent and Michaela here.
Hello, hello.
So this is the second episode of Short Story Wednesday. If you remember last week, I kept saying Short Story Wednesdays, and it was bugging me when I was editing, but I wasn't going to go back and redo it. So maybe you didn't even notice. And if you didn't, then now you will. But just goes to show we're our own worst critics. Okay, this Short Story Wednesday, we're going to tell a story of early on when we first got Reese and kind of what was leading up to that. It's a story, for the most part, if you've listened to our first couple episodes, you've heard it. But many of you are new to the show and you haven't listened to the first three episodes. So this will help you get to know us a little bit better and kind of how this all started. So,
okay, so I am going to share with you guys how we were able to bring our daughter home and what it's been like since and what my life was like before. I remember years and years ago, it was like 2 years after Brent and I got married, we went on this camping trip with some friends, and one of our friends had been going through infertility, and I asked her how long she had been trying, and she said 10 years. And I thought to myself, like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine like going through that. Like, I'm so grateful that that's not going to be me. Like, in my head, I genuinely thought that Brent and I would be able to have kids right away. We dated for so long, 8 years, and before we got married. And so I just thought it was going to happen. And, it wasn't until like about the 4 year mark that we really started like questioning, okay, it's been a while. We haven't been able to get pregnant. And so we started doing the testing and trying to figure out what was going on. And as you can imagine, for me as the woman, it was really hard to not understand why my body wasn't working the way that it should. And all the insecurities that I had, in those moments, Brent was playing pro ball and I was just kind of traveling, but there were so many like families that were there and moms that were juggling the kids and stuff like that. I was grateful in that time, that I didn't have to juggle the kids while he was playing pro ball and being by myself a lot of the time. But, still there was that need, right? So after so many years of going through the hurdles of doctor's appointments and all of the testing, we decided that it was time to try adoption. And unfortunately, our first try, we were scammed out of an adoption. And as you can imagine, going through the pains of not understanding why my body wasn't working the way that it was, and we knew that it was me and not Brent, you can imagine the pain that was to have to go through that scammed adoption. So as you can imagine, that was super painful. I mean, we found out that we were going to have this little girl within 24 hours. And so at the time, I was a massage therapist, and we had to, within 24 hours, we had to get a nursery done. And we did. We pulled it off, thankful to all of the friends and family that supported us, getting cribs, all of it. And the devastation to find out that it was a scam. And I think that Brent and I handled that differently. There was one day that, Brent can share his side of things, but I've never seen him cry the way that he did, like, or see grief in that way, to see a grown man like completely shut down and not eat, not sleep. Brent is like a stud. He can get through anything. He has broken his face, like knows everything, like through baseball. He can go through pain, but that is different. And that was the first time that I had ever seen him break like that. And so in a marriage, right, like it shouldn't be 50-50. It should be when someone's down, the other person picks them up and carries all of the weight. And so it allowed me, I think, in that time to be the strong one, because Brent carried me for so many years. But I remember one day, and Brent went to work, and again, I was trying to be strong for him because he was just not someone that I recognized, not in a bad way. It was just, he was so sad and devastated. And I remember this day, we had the crib and the room, the nursery all set up for a little girl exactly how I wanted it. And I had my grandma's rocking chair that I wanted when she passed. She had told all of her grandkids to write our names on one thing that we really wanted when they passed. And that was it. And I went into that room after Brent left for work, and I just lost it. I yelled and screamed at God, and I was just so mad that we had to go through another devastation, another letdown. And I just sat there and processed and talked to him in a way that I never have. And just kind of like poor me mentality, like, why would you do this? Like, why would I have to go through this pain again? And I was a shell of a person. But little did I know that 6 months later, we would find out why we had to wait. And that's when Reese came. Babe, do you have anything that you want to say that I missed?
Yeah, Michaela mentioned that she'd never seen me like that before, broken. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. I didn't know that I was going to react that way. But I remember, I think for the first time in our entire infertility journey, that was the first moment where I actually had real tangible thoughts and feelings of me being a dad. And then it was just ripped out from under us. And I cried for days and days. And I remember thinking in those moments, like, what is wrong with me? I couldn't control myself in certain moments. And a couple times it was in front of Michaela and stuff, but most of the time it was by myself. And kind of the same things, you know, feeling sorry for myself. But I also had thoughts of my wife and just... She mentioned that medically, you know, her body was the one not functioning properly. But as a husband, I still felt weak, that I wasn't able to make her be a mommy. I couldn't fix it. This was something I couldn't fix. And also in those moments, just realizing how isolating it is sometimes, and to see her, you know, I have no idea how many pregnancy tests she took over the course of that, and just to see, you know, by herself the negative test after negative test, or, you know, the days that she started her period and stuff, and just a constant reminder, no, you're not a mom. You're not a mom. You know, I think in that moment, I kept having those thoughts and feelings a lot, and that just added to my devastation and me just being completely broken and not knowing where to go. And so, as Michaela said, 6 months later, we get another phone call from my mom, and she was hesitant, but that was a moment where we didn't even really have to think about it, if it was something that we were going to pursue or not. It was an absolute yes, full knowing that 6 months prior, we had been absolutely shattered, and we were possibly setting ourselves up to be absolutely shattered again. But that's what it takes.
I don't think that you were 100%, because Brent is always like the shield. Like, he's always like, babe, you can't get your hopes up, you know, like, and I'm like, let's just jump right in and just whatever, you know? And like, he says that we're 100%, but I remember him being like, babe, just don't get your hopes up. Like, don't, you know, like, let's go, we can see, but just don't get your hopes up, whether that's how you really felt or not. I mean, I'm sure you were so excited, but at the same time, he's the protector.
Yeah, so we went and met Reese the day after we got that first phone call. It was a foster situation. We weren't licensed foster parents at the time. There was so many hurdles and so many little miracles that we had to jump through. COVID had just started. This was the same week we were supposed to start IVF. And we, because of COVID, we just found out that we couldn't start anything. Which, another tender mercy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we meet Reese. That whole first month is a roller coaster. We're trying to work with the state. We're trying to do all kinds of stuff, jump through all the hoops. And she had a hearing on a Monday. On that Saturday, we found out from our CASA, the guardian ad litem, that there was an uncle that had just gotten into the picture and was willing to take her. And she told us, she said, I have never seen a child not go to a viable family member. She said, it's going to take a miracle. So again, Saturday all day, we're trying to stay busy, we're just devastated. And Sunday, same thing. You want to take over?
Yeah. I've never seen Brent weep like that and just lose it.
This was a month after we spent a month with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Changing her diaper, sleeping with her at night, like, yeah, everything. I was there.
She was in Ellensburg. We were having to travel back and forth.
Yeah.
But Michaela spent almost every day with her.
Yeah.
So Sunday, same thing. We're sad, devastated. We're trying to lift each other up. That night, Sunday night, we get on our knees and we're praying together. And remember, the CASA had told us that it was going to take a miracle. And we had always had faith. And we had always known that God is a God of miracles. And we knelt down that night and we said a prayer begging him for a miracle. I had never asked him for a miracle before. I'd asked him for things. I'd never begged him for anything. I had never specifically asked him and told him that we needed a miracle. We went to sleep. Did you get much sleep that night?
No. Not at all.
6 o'clock the next morning, Michaela's phone rings, and it was our family friend, who had short-term custody of Reese.
I was staying at their house, taking care of her.
But this night, Sunday night, we were at home.
Yeah.
And what did she say?
She said, there's been a miracle.
That was the first words out of her mouth. And
not even knowing like what the Costa said or our prayer.
And Reese is our miracle. It wasn't easy from there. We became foster parents. We got custody of her that next day. And it's still just so incredible to think about and to look back on and reflect. And every time I look at that little girl, I am reminded of what a miracle she is and what an answer to a prayer she is to us and an answer to so many prayers. We have had so many prayers on our behalf, and it's so humbling to know that we have so many people in our corner who are praying and cheering for us. And we also know that we have so many on the other side of the veil that are praying and cheering and rooting for us. And we know that they're there for us and they love us. And I know that it's the same for all of you. That's the whole point of all of this, is to recognize first and foremost God's hand in our lives, but to also recognize the angels in our lives and what they do for us daily. It's such a blessing to know that truth and to be able to feel the help. I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, she, if you don't believe in miracles, then you need to see just how much Reese is like us and looks like us and acts like us. And she is just the best little human. And we get to witness those miracles every day through our children. And why Heavenly Father chose us, like, I have no idea, but I will be eternally grateful because they're so special to us.
Moral of the story, be vulnerable. It's okay to put ourselves in situations where we might get our hearts broken. But I really believe and feel that that's how we can receive the most joy in our lives, is by being vulnerable and by putting our faith and our trust in our loving Father in heaven. And ask for miracles. It's okay to ask for miracles. He wants to perform miracles in your life. And he does. It's up to us to recognize them and to receive them. So, look for those angels.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.